Thank you so much. Good evening to all of you listening in through BBS Radio Online. It is Monday 27th, 2017. My name is Gijs Minderhout. A beautiful Monday here on the West Coast in California. Another episode of the Monday Evening Call. Wynn picks random topics. He was, I remember last Monday, pretty excited about the origin of our planet, and I don't know if he's going to continue with that, but time will tell. And we are early on. It is 5:54, so 6 minutes away from the hour. And May, I know you love music.
Oh, of course I do, especially the ones you pick out.
So I'm going to pick out a song for you.
Thank you.
All right. I see here a piano from Jim Leeds, but I don't think it's the right thing to play right now. I'm looking at my online.
Original Wynn music that he wrote.
Let me go to the other side. Hold on one second.
I am a spirit traveler. I come from nowhere. I live here. I walked many lonely roads. I've been everywhere that you fear. Been everybody's father. I've been everybody's son. I watched one man finish what another's just begun. Would you believe me? If I told you that the reason I am here is the love you. I wandered in the desert. I almost died of thirst. I stood behind every man who was trying to be first. I've had a million faces. Yes, I've had a million names. But my reflection has always been the same.
All right, May, this was Wynn singing to you. We had another caller, maybe two callers joining in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
No.
My name is No. Hello, Dermanan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you? Have you been recovered from all the water? The rain?
Yeah. We, you know, we had a tree fall on our deck landing. That big storm that had all that wind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we had to, the landlord had to get the carpenters to come rebuild the deck.
Well, man.
Yeah. It just snapped a redwood tree in half and fell my deck landing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really weird. Yeah.
It happened to me like 5 years ago or so. But then, well, we got paid from the insurance and made it possible for us to go to Europe. So we enjoyed it, and we made it a cheap repair.
Well, the insurance doesn't cover acts by God.
Acts
of God, you know, that's what they call it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why.
Well, but the tree fall on your deck, I mean.
Yeah, they should, huh?
Awesome, yeah.
They won't.
All right. We are only 1 minute away now. Hopefully, Wynn will... yeah, actually, yes, even his helicopter. And I believe Wynn is here.
Hello.
Dag, Wynn. Hello, hello.
Anybody else here?
And May is here. Hello, May.
I think I'm going to say yes instead of no, like Dharmananda. I'm going to try say, yes, this is me. Instead of no, this is Anonymous.
Wynn, I just had you sing for May.
I did?
Yes, A Reason is to Love You.
Very thoughtful song.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
All right. Good evening and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Tim here.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Chris in Memphis.
Good evening to you, Chris. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, man.
Jim, are you storing up some more jokes? Jim and Golita, are you on the line?
I don't know if it was Jim out of Kalita.
Okay.
All right. I welcome all those folks that are here through BBS Radio Online. Thank you for joining in with us tonight. And good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi,
if you want to.
Hi, it's Dave.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to the call.
And Roger.
Good evening to you, Roger. Welcome.
I think it's Dave. Is that Dave?
Yeah, it's Dave.
Not Steve.
Well, every time you say Dave, I hear Steve. Welcome. All right. Ben, do you have the program ready? I'm going to turn over the dings. And we are live on BBS. And
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Ready to record?
I did it. Now, Terry's
this
not
conference
here.
Is being recorded. Your conference recording has stopped.
Off,
this
here.
Conference is being recorded.
March 27th, 2017. Heise and I are having the battle of the recorders today.
Okay. Terry's here.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Good
Hello.
To hear your voice.
Thank you.
So, you know, I started out doing some replays and stuff that we've never put on before on Mondays. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. I don't think I can outdo some of the calls we've done in the past. And there's things in there of great interest. Who's making all that noise? Are you making noise, Terry?
Yeah, but I stopped.
Okay. You have your new headset on?
No, I couldn't get it here.
Okay.
I was trying to get it here, but it's not doing it.
All right. So,
by the way, it's Monday, the 27th, March 2017.
Thanks, guys. All right. So, what I'm going to we have for tonight, I'm just curious. Let me just see something. Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Do you guys know who Coca-Pelli is?
I don't, but that's
no.
Okay.
No.
Yes.
No, but can't wait. We got one person, right?
Can you say the name again?
Cocopelli.
I'm not sure.
You ever see that Indian guy, kind of looks like a woodcut, playing a flute, kind of arched over?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's Cocopelli. Okay. And he is a Native American god of sorts.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And I'll share something. You know, there was a long period of time where nobody knew anything about what I was doing, or a handful of people. And I started to observe how these guys on the other side work. And sometimes things look like they're prophesied, or, you know, it's by some divine thing that something happens down here. And then they get people to pay attention to it. So the Native Americans, particularly, this just might be the Hopis, have a prophecy that there was a white man that came into the Hopi lands, and he was going to return, and he was going to be saving a lot of people, right? Now, okay, we have a prophecy. Now, a lot of people think Hopi prophecies, Hopis are the most evolved of all the Indians, the Native Americans, the most spiritual of all the Native Americans. So they had a prophecy, and people quote Hopi prophecies. They still quote Hopi prophecies. And one of the things I have learned is that prophecies can come from positive sources or negative sources. And a lot of times, they're not from positive sources. But it's from a negative source with an agenda. And then positive sources, well, it's from to fulfill the prophecies. For example, I've made the case on one of our calls that the Anunnaki were making the prophecy for a Messiah. And that if you look, I don't have the data in front of me to be specific here, but as I recall, there were actually two or three people who came in that kind of fulfilled the prophecy. I mean, the prophecy had a virgin birth, it had, might have even had a, I don't know, I don't want to say it because I haven't studied, I wasn't prepared to say it, so I'd have to go look it up. But there were more than one thing that were indicators of the Messiah, and there were at least two people prior to Jesus that were fulfilling these indicators. And the theory, my theory, is it was the Anunnaki who were attempting to create a Messiah. And I'm sure you guys have heard this. And then Jesus came in, and he was going to be their man, but it didn't stick. He changed it. He dropped out. You know, in more recent times, there was a very similar episode that happened. And I don't know if any of you heard of Jay Krishnamurti. Let me just...
All callers are unmuted.
Do you guys know who
yes.
Krishnamurti is? You know who he is?
Yeah.
One person did it. Anyone else? Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Krishnamurti was a very wise teacher from India. And he used to go around and give lectures in the 60s and 70s. And I used to go to his lectures. I really liked him. He was very, how would I say it, for guru figures at that time, he was very reserved. He used to sit in a chair and no accoutrements and just start talking. And he was incredibly wise. And I probably saw him two or three times when I was younger and read a number of his books. And there was the story of him, which he never told. You had to dig the story up. There was an organization called Theosophy. Okay, let's see how many of you know.
All callers are unmuted.
How many of you have heard of Theosophy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And Rosicrucians, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well,
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Both of those organizations had, there was channeling involved. And, you know, Annie Besant was Theosophy, and I forget the lady who was Rosicrucians. Alice Bailey, perhaps. And they were very sophisticated metaphysical groups that seemed to have lots of hidden knowledge. And they briefly went by me. You know, I may have read one of their books, but it did not grab me. But if I was looking for, like, secret information, I would have been grabbed, because they just said, we know what's going on, and we're going to tell you, and there are these channeled sources. And with Theosophy, there was a guy by the name of Ledbetter, okay? Now, when I go back and look at those organizations now, I think they're compromised. I don't think they're anywhere near what they would, how they would present themselves. But at that time, I didn't know enough to come to that conclusion. But they, one of the theosophists by the name of Ledbetter went to India and found this very enlightened, he thought they were enlightened, Indian boy, probably in his teens. And he took the boy, convinced the parents to give him the boy, brought the boy to America into Theosophy, and they were going to make him the world teacher, all right? And, you know, everyone was deferring to him and putting him on a pedestal. And at a certain point, he said, I don't want to do this. And he resigned, quit. And he started doing lectures on his own. And that was Krishnamurti, okay? Now, I wonder if anyone heard that story.
All callers are unmuted.
Anybody ever hear that story?
Nope.
Nope.
No.
Well, okay. Look him up on YouTube. You can see him.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
He's died now, but a number of his talks are up. And he's just really astute. Well, in any case, he didn't become the world teacher, right? So, the Hopis have a prophecy of some white man going to the Hopi village, and being their savior, okay? And they have a name for it, which I'm not going to remember, but no. Every Hopi, you say Hopi, white Xavier. Let's see what comes. Probably not. But they had a name for it. Runaways Americans are taught the white savior complex. Okay, well, in the early stages of this, Daphne and I were in Sedona, and they kept telling me, or us, to go to the Hopis. And they didn't say why. And so we went to the Hopis. And actually, Terry and I went to the Hopis. There's a whole story of this. And there's, you know, the Hopis are like almost off the grid. They don't have underground pipes. They, it looks like a third world country, but a very, really high vibration around them. And they have one little motel up there that the white men, the people visiting there, stay in the hotel. Terry, let me just ask you, I muted Terry. Did I mute you, Terry? Hang on a second. Where are you, Terry? Where is Hyde?
Okay, I'm here. I'm here.
Didn't you and I go up there at one time as well?
We did. We went up there, and we stayed at the little lodge they have up there.
Yeah. So Daphne and I went up there as well. And when we were in the hotel, we did a channeling. And, of course, I was expecting the Elohim to come in. And who came in but Cocatelli, who was one of the god figures for the Hopis and maybe Native Americans in general. And Cocatelli used to play a flute, and he had all kinds of, he was musical, and I assume he probably had an incarnation at one point. And at a certain point, I got the idea that they were trying to have the Hopis recognize me as their, can't remember the name. You remember the name, Jerry, of the white guy? I looked up.
That he was, they were expecting him to show up, but I forget the name.
All right. Okay, beginning in 1949. Maybe this will happen here. There are, we are entering a time of purification and can expect to witness chaos and destruction of all the king, in all the kingdoms of nature. It's time for reuniting of the races. Barriers of religion and nationality will begin to fall as all people realize their essential unity. We must heal the damage done to Mother Earth, the source of life, and recognize that all living things are endowed with spirit. In the coming times, we will see the return of one or more great teachers who will guide us into the future. And Vahana, that's the name, okay? Beginning in 1949, the Hopis sought entry into the United Nations to look for their true white brother and to seek justice for Indian brothers and sisters and good people everywhere, and warn leaders of the coming purification. In 1992 and again in 93, they were able to deliver their prophecies. Hopi legend speaks of the Pahana, or the true white brother, who once lived with the people and would return in the time of Kayenisquasi, when the world was beset by fearful troubles and chaos. Then he would unite the broken tribes and establish balance and harmony. Okay? So that was their prophecy. Now, who made that prophecy? I don't know. Was it something negative? I don't know. Was it the rock group? I don't know. But I do know they kept sending me to, they told me to keep going there. And eventually I got the feeling that they were thinking that maybe I would fulfill the prophecy. Not just I, but whoever was speaking to me. So when Daphne and I were in the hotel, there was a session we did, which I've never played. And I thought, it's kind of interesting, I'll play it. I don't know, I don't remember what's on it now, so I'm going to listen to it anew. But Kokopelli, who was one of the gods of the Hopis, came through Daphne. And who could be better coming through than Kokopelli to cause me to get recognized by them? Well, I didn't get recognized. I didn't know how to get recognized. We were walking around. We knocked on an elder's door. Were you with me when we did that, Grandfather Martin, Terry?
Grandfather Martin couldn't see us. He was he wasn't there when we went.
We were driving around the Hopi villages.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is 11 minutes long. And there might be another one of Kokopelli, but I don't know where it is, so I'll play this one. Here we go.
And who's Kokopelli?
The Anasazi flute dancer.
And the Anasazi flute real being? Dancer.
He is spirit being.
Exists right now in spirit, yes?
Yes. He has a connection with the entity now speaking.
He has a connection right now with the entity, or he has a general connection?
She has had a connection since 1992.
Would it be advisable to let that entity speak?
It could be done.
Right now?
If you desire.
Well, we can open up to it.
Kokopelli speaks. The wind. The sail of the wind through the harmonies, through the fingers, through the tones of the music wafting through the arroyos and the rocks and the canyons. These are haunting and mysterious, and they call back. They call back eons of time. To make people remember the origins and the sacred space of the connectedness of the human and the divine, and the role, the intricate role that the earth plays, and the delicate balance, the very fragile balance all that are in. It is a haunting cry. Mysterious cry, one that is compelling, one that has been lost and is coming back. It is
the flute chamber ricocheting through the canyons in the dark, in a place of Bandelier, in a place of Moab, in a place of Canyonlands, in the place of the national parks. These are sacred sites. It is when she takes her flute and goes into the nature and plays and hears it echoing off the canyon wall. She speaks to the stones. The stones, they speak and reverberate back to her. It is her way of communing with the earth, and the earth knowing how to support her, being in the nature, being part of the mother, not separate from her, very integrated cellularly with her, doing what she loved to do best, communion. Go to the kivas. Go to the sweat lodge ceremonies, go to the sacred drumming circles, go to those things of the four directions. If you are invited to go to events in Sedona, it's safest to go to the shamanic Native American events. These are the most grounded. These are the way in which you will least lose your footing. The others are more slippery slopes. She knows this, for the earth speaks its wisdom to her. Her path is the earth energy path. Others are not to be her foundation. The earth is to be her foundation. She can help others through her own foundation to the earth. This is why she has been screaming about foundation and grounding. She knows that her healing and her ability to help others will come through her own grounding to the earth. Once she has established the grounding to the earth, then she can be of true service. Others cannot be her foundation. Her foundation is the mother. Then she can help others. This is Copperbelly's message to you.
Thank you so much for coming forth. And please be invited to stay in our space anytime you choose and support the work we're doing.
You are more than welcome. It would be good to get your Native American flute repaired.
Do you have a physical incarnation?
Not as you would understand it.
Are you particularly related to the Hopi tribe?
Yes, there is a strong connection.
But other Native American tribes as well?
We are of Anasazi ancestry, the cliff dwellers of northern New Mexico.
Okay, we thank you, and maybe we can return to our Hopi emissary of the Ra group.
You have returned.
Do you have a name?
Copal.
Copal?
Copal.
Copal.
All right, this is Lynn live. I just wanted to point out that apparently when this session started, it was not the Elohim speaking. It was part of the Ra group. That's how they were identifying themselves. And that it was indicated was the Ra group who had been working with the Hopis. And now I had just asked a question of the entity from the Ra group. Now, I'm not telling you any of this is true. I'm just telling you this is how it was presented. Was Kupa, I think. So let's continue.
I think you answered our questions for the day. And is there anything else that's important to share with us?
There are many things which are important to share. Your question is broad in scope. Please narrow it.
In terms of the work we are doing in the white man's world, is what would be the effective way of tying in the Hopi energy?
You think of this incorrectly. It is not a tying in of the energy. It is an attunement. It is an understanding. It is an openness. It is a willingness to learn. White men are arrogant. White men are intellectual and want to understand everything with their minds. They have no regard for physical space, the sacredness of land. They have no regard for taking things and never returning them. They suffer from greed. They suffer from delusion. But their ways are crumbling now. Their empire has come to an end. You must undo the training which you have inculcated as a white man and become every man. You must become a red man, a black man, a yellow man. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. You bid you good evening. And thank you for being with us. And I think that's all.
Then we bid you good night. Oi, ciao, ciao.
Carrie, I'm just curious. Did you ever hear that one?
No, I never heard that one. That's really interesting.
Pretty interesting, right? Yeah. That was in 2008, okay?
Mm-hmm.
March, actually, it was almost exactly March 25th, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that song. I guess that was Cocopelli at the end, okay? And
yeah.
Now I'm going to jump to, let's see, we have just about the right time. We we have a early session of how the Elohim created the universe, 23 minutes long, so I just have to start it right away. Just a moment, and let me, where does it start? It doesn't start right in the, it starts 37 minutes. Okay.
This is Monday, February 6th. I'm free on the conference line. We are just about to conference ourselves in to EBS Radio. We're not on EBS yet, so just a moment.
Connection of developing it to
times in between where Gary was denied, she had bad relationships, things were screwy. So there must be the added factor that
the individual has to be inclined to do it. And in other lifetimes, Jerry did not encounter situations which would foster such connection. Although the connection was there, they did not foster the connection of developing it to move into a communicative relationship with us that would allow us to come through, or did not have a circumstance available in that lifetime, a platform to allow it to come through. So essentially, what is needed is a grounding and a platform to allow Siri to be open to bring forth the information, and an inclination and an exposure on her part, a connection made to bring through the higher sources up. As St. Catherine, there was the connection with the monastery. There was the incessant seeking of Jerry St. Catherine to bring through.
Hey, I'm just noticing this is not the one I was planning on playing. I don't know where it is, but you know what? It's this beautiful one on St. Catherine. I'm just going to let it go on again.
The information to make the connection available from the very highest sources so that it could benefit and help Terry grow. Not only help Terry grow, but to help the monastery individuals grow, to help the Catholic Church grow, to place more and more people in a posture that they would be able to connect with the higher sources and begin to allow the heavenly the heaven manifestation to enter into the earthly realm.
Now, was there a decision made before Terry incarnated that this would occur? Or was it a something of happenstance where the right people at that church, and she happened to show up and open the energies up. Was it a pre-birth agreement, or was it a situation of happenstance?
There was an agreement that Jerry made before she entered into the third density to bring through information and to stay pure. That's why St. Catherine did not wish to have sex and did not wish to enter into so much of the earthly sensations and the payoff of sensations for fear that she would pollute the connection with home, with the higher sources, with the highest on high, and then would not be able to purely bring through information. That is why she declined sex and did not wish to marry except to marry. And to have even the slight manifestation of the wedding ring of bonding with God and higher sources so that she would remain pure to bring through only the purest of the information that could be sent home. And she viewed the church at the time and saw certain things that were going in their heretical direction, and she sought to correct them.
Thank you. So, is it kind of experimental when a soul or the nature of Terry comes into this realm that there's the possibility for this any life, but they don't know until they're in the life and the circumstances present themselves that that happens, and that maybe they go through a lot of difficult lifetimes, really difficult ones, until one happens to have the right circumstances that allow these kinds of messages to come through? Is that the way it works?
The intention is always there, and the intention is always pure. And when the portal opens, the codes agree, factors come into alignment to allow this kind of a life to take its fruit, to bear its fruit. Then is when you get this connection where the individual is pure with intention and to bring through the essence of the higher forces without adding anything from the earth realm, any pollution, any distortion from the lower realms, to bring through the essential being of spirit purely without any misidentification within the channel that brings pollution into the information given. This was the pure intention of the being, and when the doorways are right and in synchronicity for the bringing through of the information and the coincidence with the individual bringing it through, that it's like a camera coming into focus, then all the doorways are connected and there are no locked geometrical obstacles in the way coming in from the pollution from the lower intensities, then like a lens, the information can come through.
It seems like sometimes you guys might make I won't call it a mistake, but you'll start to work with someone with positive hopes of having a good connection, and then it gets polluted because the person's ego might get in the way. Has that been an experience that you've found yourself in?
There are different circumstances involving different people, and we realize that we work with people that may have not fully realized themselves, and we see their pure heart. And we work with them, however, as their perceptions are not fully developed or their super abilities, they have not totally developed or how to sufficiently handle their superior abilities in the third dimension, and then they can cause some havoc because they have not yet developed the ability to handle their full range of abilities, psychological abilities, or their full range of perception, or their full connection with the third dimension, and also bringing through of the higher forces. They have not got it fully under control and do not know how to fully synchronize themselves with the third dimension, and so can look like they are causing a problem. And this is one of the ways that individuals can start out to looking good in their channeling, and then not know how to fully handle everything, and so they look like they have gone off on a tangent. So that is one of the things that can happen. Another thing is that the individual can have on handled deviations or distortions which they don't believe in their mind we say it another way. In their mind, they have certain distortions which they totally believe and cannot conceive of another way of looking at it or a higher way of looking at it. And they totally believe within their mind certain principles so that when they are given data, they discount it in favor of their own belief and bring through what could be in some instances good data. However, it is not the data that we had imparted.
Thank you.
She has worked through this, so she has observed this at the beginning of her channeling, observed this to some degree within herself and has let it go.
Thank you. I better not ask any more questions because I have to turn it back to EBS. I did want to ask. Well, no, I'm not going to ask it because we're going too long. Thank you so much for coming forth and bringing those clarifications in. And we have time for a very quick goodbye from you, and then we'll adjourn this session.
Thank you. This is one day which we wish we had more time, as we enjoy totally talking with you and making connection with each and every person on the line. And we send our love, light, and energetic hugs and kisses to each and every individual who wishes and is open to it. Adonai.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all who are listening. And we'll be on Wednesday where you can submit your questions to questions@messageaday.net.
Gary?
Yeah?
Did you like that?
Yeah, I did.
That's you they're talking about.
I know. I know.
I played it before by mistake, and I played it again by mistake. I see what I'm doing now, why I'm playing it by mistake.
You think it's something else, right?
I think it's something else. But I'll tell you, every time I listen to it, I get something out of it. It's kind of deep, you know? Hang on a second.
All callers are unmuted.
Anyone else want to make a comment on that? I know we love Terry. Terry?
Yeah.
Either they're tongue-tied.
Or they're muted.
Or they said, I heard all that before. But in any case, it's okay. We'll see you shortly on Whole Planet Healing.
All right.
But you know what? It's kind of interesting. The two audios went together because it's like you can see, I can kind of get this feeling that they are really trying to make a dent in this realm. And they have to,
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And I have to find someone or a number of people they can trust or who can do the job. So they're really making decisions when they decide to talk to someone. And you could hear their process. They kind of revealed it in the way they talked through St. Catherine. And they were trying to set me up, I think, with the Hopis to be the Ohana, or their white man who was coming. And they were, you know, we had Cocopelli coming in, we had a rock person coming in, but it didn't happen. I didn't quite know how to, how can I say it, get their attention in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But very interesting. Okay. We're going to end this call. We're going to go over to Whole Planet Healing. If you're listening to this, And you haven't been to Whole Planet Healing? It is WholePlanetHealing.com. WholePlanetHealing.com. And Heis probably knows the phone number. You know the phone number, Heis?
Yes, that is 712-770-4340. And the PIN is 250-513-pound.
Thank you. Well, what did you think of that channeling, Heis?
That was good.
Yeah? Did you have any cognitions on it?
No, I did not. I was to be honest, I was doing things on the side, and it took me away from the best part of it.
All right. Okay. So we'll see everybody on Whole Planet Healing. And everyone's unmuted.
All callers are unmuted.